It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, presented by BetMGM. It is Gil Alexander, VSiN.com and the VSiN app for the pretty pictures, Sirius XM channel 204. And on down the line, Game Plus, Fubo, Sling, however you're taking us in today. Just some updates. If you're betting on that soccer, still 1-0 Philadelphia and New York City FC. That in MLS. So far anyway, and we could get stung here at the end, but so far the under for a very early morning soccer game on the East Coast, pandemic soccer, as Felica just called it, looks pretty good. Hideki Matsuyama, one stroke lead. Seems like he's had a one stroke lead all morning. He does. He's 5 under through 12 at the Workday Charity Open in Muirfield, Dublin, Ohio, at Muirfield, I should say. And then you see the live odds, the live betting odds that are taking place, those courtesy of DraftKings. So if you wanted to bet Matsuyama now with a one-stroke lead, and by the way, we talk about this seemingly every week now with Crack, who I'm going to bring in now, you know, the adjustments on these are way too dramatic in terms of the betting live odds. There he is on screen looking good. Bill Krakenberger, everybody, hey. At Bill Crackman with a K. Good morning to you, man.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just seen those the guys put the live shot on the live odds up there, and I was shaking my head without you knowing, though. I mean, 6-1, these guys. You know, even last week, I know he won. I know DeChambeau won the tournament, but my God, I mean, yeah. They had like 2-1. I seen 2.5-1 after 36 holes. I mean, it's just, how do you take it? But then again, it won. So, you know, I guess the books were right. They had it down right. He was the class of the field. And was it Wolf that fell apart? Because didn't he have a three-stroke lead going into Sunday? Was it Wolf, the kid Wolf?
Yes. Yes. Was it two strokes or three strokes? I can't remember. But, yeah, he had a lead.
Three-stroke lead, fell apart. And he was clearly the odds-on favorite. I checked the DraftKings and FanDuel and PointsBet back in Jersey because – you could go on those sites without even, logging in to see the odds. And amazingly, the odds were a little bit better, surprised me, than here in Las Vegas on a couple of those big favorites. So I was actually shocked to see that. I always want to think that the Euro books have a way of gouging a little bit on money line prices and future prices. But, I know I'm a little bit too strong on that word, shouldn't be gouge on that particular thing. Gouging would be more of like the baseball lines I see. I see the first game that is up. Every single sports book has the first baseball game. I believe it's the Yankee game. But anyway, the minus 136, comeback 116, and comeback 112. Geez. Minus 136 plus 112 of the Giants sports books in New Jersey. I'll tell you. I have no allegiance to those to a book that charges 30 cent difference starting out at minus 130, come back even. I don't know how you can play, but however, you know what it is, Gil? Everyone's new to this still, even though I know it's May 2000. Here we are 2 years later. This is still pretty new to a lot of sports bettors. So they go in there. They don't know any better. They're looking at the Daily News and the New York Post line, maybe. There was the old line when we grew up back in New York, and it was like 7-8. And what that means is, you know, the 8, meaning you're laying 80. It was actually 8 for every 5. So you're laying 80 to win 50, and you're taking back 70 for every 50. 7-8 is a wide margin. That's what the Post had every game, every lineup, and even the Daily News. And they had their little guys in there. I used to love betting against like Hondo and these guys that called themselves professionals. But so people back east are used to seeing that. And when they seen that, they go into the sports books and they say, oh, that's normal. It's not normal. Trust me. Come out here to Vegas. Look what's going on here. Look what the baseball lines are here every year. I will tell you, William Hill is back in Jersey, though. I believe William Hill, but the rest of them. Whew, God.
Yeah, you and I talk about this a lot. A new generation of bettors will be formed how those books want to train them. It's Gil Alexander. It's Bill Krakenberger right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204. Let me just sort of clarify some of the things we've already talked about. Matthew Wolf didn't win, but I don't know if falling apart. I get what you mean. He ended up 20 under. I mean, that's how ridiculous the scores were last week. Ends up losing by three. So falling under, crashing in quotes or choking, whatever term we use there. But just and about golf and the numbers crashing in terms of the live betting odds so early in a tournament. You know, I was just talking off air before. I have Kuchar versus Streelman in a first round matchup, and Kuchar was down four strokes to him. And last I looked, now he's only down one stroke. It might be two now, but these things change so rapidly in through all kinds of prisms. So, you know, let's be clear. That's what we're talking about. No one should crash that quickly in a tournament. What else did you mention? Say again. I'm sorry.
Do you bet those rounds? Will you go round two matchups, round three, round four? Will you do that also?
No, I will generally stay with full tournament matchups. I will make like one or two rare exceptions for round one, but generally I stick to full tournament.
Gil, I tell you, I noticed something yesterday. I noticed something actually last week when DeChambeau was playing, really. These single round matchups, sometimes they're really, I mean, I can't believe that some of them are minus 2.5, late 250, come 100 on a single round of golf with two professionals. I'll tell you what, it's almost basic strategy to just take the plus 2-1, plus 2. I see plus 220 on an 18.
Where did you see it that high?
Oh, last week DeChambeau was 2.5. To one over two golfers, of course, on day four, and of course he won versus both of them.
Of course,
but that's too high though. It's too on a single round of golf with two PGA Tour pros. I have to almost take the other side. It's almost an automatic bet. It's almost like a baseball bet to me. When I see a baseball game of minus 5-1 come back 4-1, I'm almost taking it no matter what.
And I just want to clarify the other point you made we always have to be cognizant. Bill and me, we're so close to the sun on all of this. So, you know, we talk about a new generation of bettors who don't know any better and sportsbooks are going to try to get over on them. What Bill was referring to with the prices of the opening night, let me just sort of without giving the boring math on it. What he was referring to is a straddle of minus 135 and plus 115, minus 136, plus 116. Typically, at those low numbers, so in other words, when the game is more competitive, you should be getting dealt dime lines at that price. Now, books are going to vary the higher they go. Some books are going to go high. Like it used to be a big promotional thing offshore, like, oh, we have dime lines up to minus 175, right, or something like that. That would be a way they would distinguish themselves from each other. The higher you go, the less your expectation should be to have dime lines. Like, obviously, if you're in the minus 200 range, you're not getting dime lines at that point. But at minus 135-ish, you shouldn't be betting into those lines when the plus 115 is the comeback, is sort of the hack quick way of saying it.
Yes, that's exactly right. You should not be betting. Listen, we're all used to dime lines, but these people that are new to this, they just don't care if some of them or don't realize it. So that's why I put it out there. Listen, that's what I do. I'm not here to help the better. I'm not here to help the book. That's for sure. We're against them. So, we grew up on dime lines though, especially being out here in Vegas. Just think about off the top of my head, Westgate, of course, Circa, right there at the South Point, Cantor, these places all started dime lines. And a true dime line will be to break around that number. You hit it right on the head. You should actually go to 170, 175 should come back. Minus 175 should come back 165. But I understand a lot of them go to minus 180. Then you come back 165. And I have no problem with that. Of course, minus 2-1, then it breaks even further, which it should. That's still a true line. So baseball starting here in a couple weeks, hopefully. Make sure you have the right. Listen, let's face it. Now we're talking to a lot of people that have accounts with their local guys, with their buddy. Listen to me. trust me with this when I tell you this. You lines. You tell your guy, listen, all the casinos and all the sports book, I go and bet, and guys, and you could even say, listen, guys I used to play with, they all have dime lines. You could call your guy, you could call whoever your contact is, and make sure you get a dime line for yourself. Request it. You're entitled to do that.
Chris Velika, by the way, who was just on giving his horse racing picks, he was just chiming in on your comment about DeChambeau getting a minus 250. He recalls that John Rahm had a minus 330 versus Will Gordon recently and got crushed. And that's one round of golf. Yeah, which is already precarious as it seems.
As usual, Chris is on top of his game there. He knows exactly what I mean there. Look at minus 30. Those things are out there. It's almost basic strategy. It really is to take that the dog on an 18 holes of golf. But so hey, getting to some other things here, Gil. What's going on? We haven't talked on air.
You cut out there. Say again, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry.
Your Redskins are Washington are changing the name there. I'm almost positive. Is that right?
I am almost positive. Listen, I can't imagine Dan Snyder finally saying it publicly and then not doing it. Although it is right. Dan Snyder. And unless you wanted to make the situation even worse, you would make it public and then not do anything about it. I don't know that he's in any rush to do it. I don't know that it will happen before this season, but it will. I think it will happen. And look, this is, as someone who grew up on the Washington Redskins, nothing mattered more to me in my life the first 20 years of my life than the Washington Redskins. But even as a child, I was that kid who favored a name change. Whenever the Redskins were making a Super Bowl run, this would always become an issue because the Redskins were very popular, and so they were at the forefront of consciousness, and so this would always come up. And I was a kid. I would argue with adults. People can sue me. This is the kind of kid I was. I would argue with adults in the parking lot of RFK Stadium that I thought the name should be changed. And I used colorful language to drive my home point at that time. But so this is not a new story for me. This is like, it doesn't even move my needle. You know, like, so I'm sort of amused by people in mainstream media who never have thought about it ever in their lives. And they take the stand of calling it the Washington Football Team, which to me always felt self-serving. It's always sort of like, hey, look at me. I'm making a change in the way I deal with this. And I've lived with this for decades and have openly been on the front lines of fighting this with people for my whole life. So finally, for me, as a guy who grew up on this team, this is clearly a name that needs to be changed. And look, as a Washingtonian who had the Bullets, the Washington Bullets changed the Washington Wizards, I loved the name, the Washington Bullets. So look, the things that I referred to my favorite sports teams as a child, do those names go away? They do. In this particular case, long overdue, in my humble opinion.
Wow. Okay, cool. That's they're going to have to change some other ones then too, I'm sure. The Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians, I'm sure all of them, they will follow, but,
I don't know about that. We'll see. I think this one is particularly bad.
This I haven't talked about yet. So Tuesday, I get a phone call from someone back East that, I trust very much, by the way. And, so he's not lying to me or exaggerating. He lives in a very nice home in a very nice area, and three or four doors down, he has an offensive line coach from one of the football teams back East, which I'm not going to say. He talked to his neighbor outside about a week ago. And shockingly, this is, like I said, this is the offensive line coach. The coach told him that he doesn't see this NFL season happening. And I'm like, what? And I never even thought of that. And he said he doesn't see it happen because he just feels there's too much travel involved. Maybe the referees are a little bit older. And the staff, that takes a lot to put on a game, a lot of pre-production and production in general. There's a lot of moving parts to putting on an NFL game with a lot of people that are a little bit older, maybe. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know why. I thought the referees were always local referees. Of course they're not. You can watch the prime time. They're flying in too, I would presume. So I heard that, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I just hope he's wrong. I haven't heard nothing like that at all, except for this particular guy on Tuesday. Have you heard anything, Gil? Is anything else going on that I don't know about
No. I think the preseason is shot, right? I don't think anybody particularly cares, but I think the notion that we'd only cut two preseason games is probably off. I think we'll probably end up cutting all of them out. But, you know, you make a point there. I made this with Paul Spohr the other day. Paul Spohr, who's one of my long, stalwart baseball guys. And Paul, who loves baseball more than life itself, right? Like, he loves baseball more than you love your cat. Maybe not your dog, but more than your cat. And he, you know, he dared on Twitter the other day say, boy, I don't know if this baseball season is going to happen. And you can't imagine the vitriol and the hate he got from people who are like, you don't love baseball. Or Debbie Downer. Like, can we all just stop being ridiculous? Like, you can hold two thoughts in your head at the same time. It is okay to have logical skepticism because this is a virus. And the nature of it is such that, again, you could be asymptomatic and not know, and it just creates all kinds of problems and dangers for, if not the players themselves, their family members, those that are older and more subject to having this manifest worse in them if they have pre-existing conditions. So it's a whole thing. I haven't heard anything specifically about the NFL. I think we're all desperately hoping that the NFL season happens. But I just talked to Chrissy about the betting implications of it, Bill, which I think are interesting. You know, let's say we start it. Like, let's say we start basketball. Let's say we start baseball. Let's say we start football. The football thing is going to be so problematic with, you know, when do we find out about players testing positive? And if a player tests positive, the teammates that must have tested positive, who have to be quarantined, the team that they just played, right? There's all these things. And I brought up the contests of the Westgate and Circa. And I thought to myself, oh boy. And I love those guys. We love guys at both of those casinos. They're longtime friends of ours and associates. Wow. Could this be a problem this year? Right. Let's say you pay whatever you plunk down 1,000 or 1,500 or 5,000, whatever the denomination of whichever contest you play, 1,000, 1,500, 5,000, whatever it is. And then you get to a week where you make your five picks and one of your games gets postponed because of some kind of outbreak with those particular players. What do those contest operators do? Like, what are going to be the stipulations in place beforehand? How many complaints is this going to, create? And I'm not trying to besmirch the contest. I hope they don't listen to this and are like, oh no, Gil, stop talking. Don't say that. Yeah, I'm just saying there's so many unknowns and all of these things. It's uncharted waters. We don't know how to handle this stuff. It's going to be fascinating on the one hand and problematic on the other.
Well, listen, of course, and I don't mean to be like that. Trust me, I'm full of positive radiant energy at all times, almost so much so that I have to calm myself down. So
yes, you are.
I don't want nothing. Of course I want NFL. Of course I want football. Are you kidding me? This is it's almost like I talked about a little bit at the end of your show last week. We need this for our mental state. I'll go ahead and say that, you know, just for our mental state. And let's face it, we're VEASAN here. We're talking man to man and across the country, across the world. We're all in the same boat here. We definitely want sports.
We are.
Sports. Without sports, what is there? I mean, you know, for us, how much Netflix can we watch? How much Amazon Prime and TV? And you know, we need sports. We need NFL. And I don't even bet a lot of NFL. I bet more totals and props than anything. But we need it. So I don't mean to ever sound negative. I want it. I want college sports so bad. I heard some stuff about USC maybe not. You know, I guess if the kids don't go to school, obviously they're not going to have collegiate sports. So, you know, we need sports, and I am all for it. I'm just reporting what I hear, and I think that's what we do. And it's good to pass along, good or bad. That's the reason why. So I don't mean to be that negative person. We need it.
It's so funny you phrased it that way about sports. Me and my oldest friend Tommy, growing up in D.C., we used to say to each other growing up, we used to be like, could you imagine, Gil? Because we would just say stupid things to each other all the time. But he's like, could you imagine if there was no such thing as sports or music? Like, let's say those two things weren't invented. What would we do all day? You know, it's like two kids, like, thinking about these existential questions of what would we even do? Like, what would we talk about? What would we do all day long? But yeah, it's and we talked. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's true. You know, music, too, is a big part of my life. I think people know I love going to concerts. I love seeing the classic rock bands, the Stones, and they just canceled the Rolling Stones. So who knows? These guys are, you know, the drummers are going to be 80 years old. Are we ever going to have a chance to see the Rolling Stones again? Probably. I don't want to say probably not, because they are amazing how they keep on reinventing themselves. I seen the Rolling Stones final tour. I think it was 87, by the way. So they were retiring back then. So,
yeah, they were on their last leg then.
They were on their last leg back then. Motley Crue, they just announced that. You know, I went to the final Motley Crue tour. I spent like, you know, my wife loves Motley Crue, so I got backstage passes and stuff. I spent like $1,500 on tickets. It's their final tour ever. And sure enough, what happened? They just announced that they were coming back on a stadium tour again after they signed something that they'll never tour again. So anyway, music's a big part of my life also. And just like it was when you were a kid, that imagine thinking that, oh my God, no sports and no music. That music is definitely a
music.
You know, we need music too.
Let's take a break here. I do want to talk to you about a rumor that I do think you have specific insight on, which happens to be some of these stray articles you'll see about Vegas shutting down again. We'll address those rumors with Bill Krakenberger next. At Bill Crackman with the K to follow him on Twitter, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Unscripted as always, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Couple updates on sports. Philly and New York City, 1-0 final. Gotta love 9 a.m. Eastern MLS soccer. So the under coasts into victory there. We appreciate that. New leader at the Workday Charity Open, Hideki Matsuyama, double bogeyed the par 4 13th there at Muirfield, Muirfield Village in Dublin. So he falls back. J.B. Holmes is now your leader at 5-under through 11. J.B. Holmes, one-stroke lead over five golfers, let's call it, including a couple Canadians, Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor. Also in there, Matt Jones, formerly producer number 4 here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Well, I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, different Matt Jones? Okay. Kevin Streelman, Sepp Straka, all at 4-under. But J.B. Holmes, your leader. And if we look at the live betting odds, by the way, Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, some names at 3-under lurking here early at the Workday Charity Open. But if you look at the adjusted betting odds, and let's go to J.B. Holmes' adjusted numbers, if we could, on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app, you will see that J.B. Holmes is now, boy, 33-1. Okay, people, you know, again, that's a major, major adjustment from his pre-flop, which I believe was in triple digits, if I'm not mistaken, if not very close to it. Let's not bet that, please, people. So that's the update there. Bill Krakenberger is here at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Billy, so we see some stray articles. A bunch of folks were passing these around yesterday. And oftentimes the headlines are more provocative than the actual article if you read it, designed obviously to get people to click into them. But the these rumors of, hey, Nevada didn't play this right, specifically Las Vegas didn't play it right, and maybe that's true, by the way, but the notion of casinos closing again, your insight to this is not exactly that. What is your insight, sir?
I don't see that. I don't see the casinos closing again in Vegas. Not to say that it can't happen. But, I mean, it takes so much to open up one of these monstrosities. And now you have to bring all the staff in. You're bringing every. I mean, this is thousands of people you're bringing in for retraining. and telling them, you know, what's going on. There was a lot of bringing them in before they opened, of course. They brought these employees in weeks before to prepare them for what was going on. So, yes, Gil, you said something good there. Maybe we didn't do it right here in Nevada. Maybe the governor should have requested everyone wear a mask and take this more serious like Atlantic City is right now. They're open 25% capacity. Everyone has to wear a mask. The Arizona casinos, they went down in where I was. I actually went down to Arizona, took a nice drive down, and it was a mask. You had to wear a mask. So it's mandatory. That's the word I'm looking for. Here in Nevada, they didn't do that. But however, you know, I seen what Derek Stevens said on Twitter, because someone said something, rumor one of the casinos, one of his casinos were closing. He had a great tweet. He said, I know a guy, and they are not closing.
Great.
I know a guy. I don't think they're closing. And also, I heard from a high-level executive, matter of fact, president of a casino, there's no higher. I don't want to say who, but a president of a major corporation here in town, he said, we're not closing anything. Don't listen to anything you say. So that's not in the plans. But people, you know, you see there has been some casinos. Listen, the California card rooms, they all closed. And the Commerce, yeah, and all these bicycle, all these great places to play poker in California, they opened up and they closed them, you know, less than a month later. And there is casinos now in Arizona also closed. So, I mean, yeah, can it happen? Yes. But I think we're going to learn from other things, and I hope that we all stick. Because once they close again, boy, I tell you, it's not good.
You said it right there. Because once they close again, yeah, that's when the depression will settle in, both literally and figuratively. By the way, J.B. Holmes gives back a stroke, so now we have a six-way tie, 4-under right now. J.B. Holmes, just to clarify what I said earlier, he was 200-1 pre-flop. And already the adjustment, 5-under with that one stroke lead, was 33-1. Now he's just in a six-way tie, so you get the idea with the adjustments on the live betting. Let's take another break here, Bill. When we come back, let's update the story because we have an update. I had Rose Eveleth on the show back in the day. She was great. She was the producer of a 30 for 30 short on the whole Phil Ivey story. It's really not a story about Phil Ivey. It's really about his what they used to describe as his mysterious Asian counterpart named Kelly. But she, amazing story about how she developed a mini baccarat edge sorting scheme. She got Phil Ivey involved, and now we have news on how it's been adjudicated between Phil Ivey and a casino and Kelly. Bill's got all the details. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The debut of the UFC's Fight Island is featured in the new issue of Point Spread Weekly, ready for download later today. Lou Finicaro, who was on the show earlier today, offers his opinions on four of the matchups, including the Usman Masvidal main event. Plus, we cover NFL, NBA, MLB, horse racing, and much more. So now get all of VSiN's content free until a major sport returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. I'm very pumped for UFC 251 this weekend. And just to clarify, J.B. Holmes, double bogeyed. So he went from 500 to 300 just like that, exactly right after I said, yeah, please don't bet him at 33-1 after he was 200-1 pre-flop. Please don't do that with these adjusted live betting odds. It's fun to talk about, but they kill you on them. Matt Jones from Australia now with a one-stroke lead. Just guys taking turns having a one-stroke lead at 500 basically all morning long. It's Gil Alexander. It's Bill Krakenberger at Bill Krakman with a K on Twitter. I'm at Beating the Book. Let me give the brief preamble to this, Bill, for those who have missed this story. So I've referred to this story a couple times through the years on the air. I had Rose Eveleth, who I mentioned, who was the producer of a 30 for 30 short about She went by the name of Kelly. That's not her real name. But she, and then you and I, of course, talked about it when you were kind enough to bring Michael Kaplan, the wonderful gambling writer, who has talked about this story very often. But the story is that, Kelly is this young lady who was born into a lot of money, and for a large period of her gambling life, she would lose. She would basically get her daddy's money and she would lose at all kinds of casino games. And, you know, she would pay these debts, but she had this constant stream of income from her dad. And one day she owed the MGM, I believe it was $100,000, and she couldn't pay it. And MGM, instead of in those days, not this is old administrations, they didn't forgive it. You know, they didn't let her have some leeway and pay it back at her own leisure. And she ended up in jail. And when she was in jail, she vowed, she said, "That's it. I am going to make it my life's mission to kill casinos and I'm going to develop a scheme here that's going to do it." And so she edge sorted. Edge sorting is, she studied edge sorting. Edge sorting is a fancy gambling term, for those who don't know, of studying the backs of cards in games and being able to develop patterns. She became so good at it, and specifically applying it to mini baccarat, that she was able to detect things quickly that others were not, and very adeptly. Long story short, she ended up destroying casinos globally. Forget any one operator. Casinos globally. And it got so... And by the way, the story is amazing because there's so many little elements involved, including, as you will attest to, Bill, including a bit of, you know, of racism at worst, but racial profiling, where casino security didn't profile an Asian female as someone who would be the one to cheat them out of millions. Like, literally, this is not me saying it. This is part of the story, which was so fascinating. Anyway, it got so big, she ended up, through a couple connections, ending up getting to Phil Ivey. "You really want to play this game for real money? Real money in you know, the highest stratosphere of gambling. Here's Phil Ivey." And they end up at casinos in England and in Atlantic City. Specifically, the one in England is where the story sort of breaks, because that's where security at the English casino figured out what they were doing and withheld payment. They also, of course, got paid, I think, elsewhere. You know the details from there. What's the latest on this, Bill, and what did I get wrong in that description?
Well, I'll tell you what. That last 2 minutes is gold, what you just said, because you got it down exactly right, what you just said. And by the way, Michael Kaplan wrote a great story for Cigar Aficionado where he interviewed her. And just Google the article, Michael Kaplan and Cigar Aficionado. He wrote a great story on this. I was fascinated. I read it twice. So that's how good it was, different times. But now, yesterday, I tweeted out the story that came out that Ivy settled with the Borgata in Atlantic City. That was the casino in question. He lost his case in England. I think it was, I don't know if it was Crockford's or what was the casino in England?
It was Crockford's, yeah.
It was. So he lost his case there, but the casino in question here for a long time is the MGM-owned Borgata Casino, which at the time might have been a partnership between MGM and Boyd Casinos at the time. So they didn't announce the settlement, but interesting that he did settle yesterday. Listen, let's face it. First of all, let me first say that unlike the BetMGM scandal that's going on now, where these guys pass posted in the later innings of the games, I have to tell you, when it comes to this Phil Ivey thing, I am on Phil's side here. Not just because he's a good guy, which I think he is, yeah, actually, but I'm on his side when it comes to this. Phil Ivey is a giant gambler in the casino. People just know him as the poker player. Well, he has played giant craps, baccarat, blackjack. He has played some really big games over his gambling career. And so he's known to have $1 million swings, in an hour. I mean, $10 million swings, really. So he's been gambling all this time. he beat them at their own game. He negotiated a game where they came in and said, you know, pull the cards out. And of course, this girl, Kelly, let's call her, that's the name she's going by. She knew the cards that were out there in front of her. They actually pulled the cards out of the deck, out of the shoe, and showed the player and the banker the two cards. Now, sometimes, you know, when he's betting these big amounts of money, don't get me wrong, you could still lose. People don't realize that. They think that it's automatic that you're going to win. Now, granted, you should, but there's a draw involved in many baccarat hands. Most baccarat hands, where you have a two card draw, or you're drawing a card. Those cards are still left in the shoe. You did not know what was coming out there. So, granted, he did have a huge edge, but he could have lost. Matter of fact, he did lose some sessions. So, you can just imagine the money they made. I said it off air. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm pretty familiar with this. I know a little bit more involved here, which I'm not really going to go into. But they made a lot of money before they got, I guess if you want to say, they got caught. So, again, I am on the Ivy side here about this particular thing.
Yeah, you said it too. They never lay fingers in mini baccarat. You never lay fingers on the cards. The folks in England, where this first broke, agreed to a set of rules. They must have a dealer that speaks Mandarin. You know, we want this deck. No, let's go to a new. We'll play with the same cards when we come back from a break. There's all these little details. And figured out by a security guard in England, because he remembered what his grandfather, the simple card trick where his grandfather just asked him to put one card in the deck, but he just turned it around. That's how they figured it out, something like that. We'll come back. We've got to take a break. Bill Krakenberger right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
July marks the return of major sports, and fans can't wait to wager at BetMGM Sports, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the world's greatest casino resorts. Get the action started with a risk-free first bet up to $500 when you sign up and use promo code VSIN500. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Use promo code VSIN500 to make your first bet risk-free up to $500. It's time to believe in your game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, here are the numbers to call. It's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger. Let me update the golf one more time. Three-way tie here. Adam Hadwin, Matt Jones, and look who's back at the top. Hideki Matsuyama is right back after double bogeying. He just eagled. He double bogeyed 13, the par four 13, and then he just eagled at 15. And so Matsuyama right back now, three-way co-leader. I was just mentioning how golf can change. Matt Kuchar, who is, you know, for golf bettors, he's a human ATM machine, not because he necessarily wins tournaments, but he's always top 10s and top 20s. So I have Kuchar in a, as we showed earlier, in a full tournament matchup with somebody against him, I believe it was. And today I had him against Streelman. And earlier this morning, again, just another representation of why live betting odds aren't to be messed with on day one because of the big changes. You know, here's just another example. Kevin Streelman, who I have him in a one-on-one with today, was beating him by like four strokes when I came on air, some 1 hour and 40 minutes ago. That's a dead heat right now between Kuchar and Streelman. He's made it all back with a few holes to play. So it is neck and neck. See if Kuchar can pull this off for the first round head-to-head. But my big play is on Patrick Cantlay, who has yet to tee off. So much golf to be played, obviously, not only today, but throughout the weekend. Thank goodness for golf and UFC, Bill, man.
Oh, yeah.
During this pandemic.
going to I seen something on Twitter, and this is just a spontaneous thing I'm thinking of. Did you see the trade food the NBA guys were given? Did you see that on Twitter at all?
The what that they? Oh yes, Danny referred to it yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, honestly, when I seen that, most hospitals give you a better tray of food. I mean, they're like a packaged boiled egg and some mystery meat. And I was like, wow, look at this. These poor guys. God, I don't know. You know, get a little bag of Doritos in there or something. God. But, yeah, so I noticed that. But let's go back to the Phil Ivey thing here. So,
yes, please.
Talking about, like I said, I was on his side for this, but yet I'm on the casino side with the past posting on MGM, BetMGM, which I can't wait to see how that plays out because I was hearing some back and forth of why they should get paid also. So, like, there is a small chance that these games were still in progress and sometimes a bullpen will blow up in the ninth inning or whatever it may be. So this will be interesting. No matter what, I think there's probably going to be a fine involved for taking all of gaming's time. Oh, speaking of gaming, I have an unbelievable good thing to say about gaming. So please. My friend in New Jersey, he wrote to the gaming board because of FanDuel. FanDuel left a rule up about the golf on the Masters being canceled. Up until last week, I have photos on my phone from last week that the golf, that they were canceling all the golf bets. Well, my buddy's like, well, wait a minute. I have golf bets from the futures on the Masters is good almost everywhere else. But yet, that's what their website said. He called on the phone. He was told something different from FanDuel. So he said, you know, let me call gaming here and let them know, let me email gaming. And I have to admit it. I said, listen, it's going to take weeks before you hear from someone. It wasn't weeks. It was minutes. Someone got back, a gaming agent got back to him that day. The following day, FanDuel called him on the phone, and they straightened it all out. And by the way, it was just an error that it was on the website. And absolutely, the bets do count. And also talking about baseball bets, baseball futures, did they count? And so they did the right thing there. Good for game. I tell you, I was really happy that gaming got involved so quickly and got back to the customer. And also FanDuel got back. So props to FanDuel by the way, I love bets. They take a good size bet from me when I'm back in Jersey. So that was
This is the undeniable part, you know, because I talk about betting in faraway places. I mean, let's be honest. This show is authentic. That's how I bet primarily. But I bet all over the place. I bet legally. The beauty of legal jurisdictions. We love to let you know when things don't go well. But what Bill just described is so huge. The fact that there is some law and order, if you will. At least you have the possibility, especially during a pandemic, Bill. So let me just give an example. I alluded to this late in the show earlier in the week, and it's not something I can talk about on the show because no one can relate to it really, but I literally am betting some rogue tennis matches, right, where it's like literally the 500th ranked women's tennis player in the world against someone who's ranked 400 and something. And I'm betting it in-game successfully on the 500 plus ranked player at plus 300, because I just think there are amazing betting opportunities in matches like that that don't exist in the sports that we normally talk about. However, for every good story of live in-game betting on rogue tennis matches that I can talk about, there's also somebody who tweeted me yesterday about, well, he was betting one of these rogue tennis matches and he played a total and he played under 22.5 games and the first two sets split. And in these pandemic tennis matches that are not your typical tour events, the third set essentially just becomes a weird tiebreaker of points. And his under got ruled a loser because they counted the points in the third set instead of as points as games, right? And so he was asking me, like, you know, just how badly did he get screwed? And as always, the question for me, the answer always comes back to, first of all, it's always the rules of a sports book, but particularly on rogue tennis matches with quirky rules, like there are going to be some nefarious books that are not regulated that are going to just get over on bettors with stuff like that. First of all, if they don't state the rules in advance on something like that, you should not be betting it at all, because they will take every opportunity to screw you on something like that. So just one example, especially during a pandemic, especially when the sports are really quirky that we're betting on with rules that are different from the normal rules of that sport, And when sportsbooks don't tell you in advance, oh, yeah, by the way, if you go under on this and it goes to a third set, we're going to count them as games, not points. And who knows if they're grading it some way else, the next person that comes along and grades it as an over, right? We don't know. So I guess all I'm saying is, to your point about, you know, for all the crap that we find about the regulated sportsbook world that we know and those operators, let's also be thankful for, you know, the fact that there is some regulation, because you need some form of law and order at times, and no time better than the present in this weird time in our lives.
I tell you, Gil, you're on fire today. Just think really, guys, to our listeners and to our viewers out there, listen to what Gil just said. When you're going to make a bet that probably isn't right, or you know it's probably not the right thing to do ethically, morally, I'm not going to say legally, but just think about the implications, what can happen. I'm not saying you're going to wind up with a pair of cement shoes, but I'm just think about what's going on here as far as what can happen down the future to you about not being allowed to wager, this and that. And that's going to segue into something, Gil, that you probably don't know I'm going to talk about today. I know we only have a couple minutes. However,
we have 3 minutes.
All right. We're going to have 3 minutes here. I'm really going to let people know about something here. So let's say this happened to me, folks. My average bet on a ticket in this particular casino was, I was betting max bets, which was $5,000, $5,500. Matter of fact, I made 12 $5,500 bets that week at that casino. During college football season. And I want to know, well, I'd like to know what the viewer thinks about this, the listener thinks about this. So I walk into a casino. I had some information that a quarterback wasn't going to be playing 15 minutes before the game. I went up and gave him my average bet of $5,500 and I went back to my seat. The sportsbook then it was announced the quarterback wasn't playing. This was a Texas San Antonio game. I think it was Southern Miss Texas San Antonio. And the game moved from, I took plus 17 and went down to 14.5. So it moved 2.5. It actually closed around 15. So, you know, 2 points, not around no real key numbers, but even if it did, it doesn't matter. So I had information before the sportsbook had information about a quarterback being out. So just like everyone in that sports book and everyone in sports books across America, we are fans. We are looking for edges. We are trying to beat you just like you're trying to beat us. The sports book director came over to me. They said, hey, sorry about that. You're now banned from betting here. You're not allowed to play here anymore.
Oh, my God.
So what I just – now, this, now I haven't revealed this. It's been 6 months. I haven't revealed this.
Yeah, we've been sitting on this. Yeah.
I've been sitting. Gil, you know about it. I talked to you about it. I've called so many different people about this, directors of other sports books to reach out and say, hey, this place threw me out here. What they did here was definitely wrong. At least I think it's definitely wrong. So all I did was gain an edge. I posted my money. I laid 11 to 10 you're holding my money. And my, by the way, doesn't matter. Really. This doesn't matter. The game lost. Doesn't even matter that it lost. It lost by an extra point being missed. It should have been. It should have tied. It should have landed on 17, but it landed on 18. So I lost my money, and they threw me out for a lifetime. I was negotiating with the guys in charge there, and why do I have to negotiate that I'm doing all this stuff legally? I'm betting my money, and I have a little bit of edge. They got mad because they didn't have the information, and I did, about a quarterback being out. And like, I lost the game. And next week we're going to reveal the casino corporation that did this to me.
Well, let's do it when I come back from vacation. Let's do that, because I want to flesh this out when I'm around. Yeah, don't reveal it next week if you're here. But let's do it when I come back from vacation. We'll flesh this out. You might even want to run a poll on Twitter even before that, because I'm curious how many people will be on your side. Bill, thank you. Love you, man. Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K. As always, tomorrow, Todd Wright, Jason Weingarten, whole bunch of picks. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.